Good morning. Let's try it again. Okay. Good morning. Yes, it's a very good morning to each and every one of you. We are here with us today. Thank God we have stepped into a new month, November, and we praise God for His faithfulness thus far. And we also want to, you know, say good morning to those also joining us online. Before I pray, you know, I thought I'll just share very briefly, as all of us are fully aware, November is an interesting month in the life and ministry of our church. We have dedicated or even given this particular month to emphasize on missions. If you realize, I think throughout this month we will have speakers, even the next two Sundays. We have mission speakers who are here to just challenge us and at the same time, help us be conscious of the call that God has given to us and also to the church. And today we will be also be having a corporate prayer, just focusing on missions. A pastor who's serving in Panama is also going to join us, Pastor Karen. And she's going to join us online just to share in terms of her ministry. And I know that she even travels to Ukraine. You know, I think many of us have read about what are the things that's happening in that part of the world. And so she needs our prayers. And so we want to emphasize on missions and also praying along with our IWs. The next three Sundays, we have also lined up an interesting study in our Sunday school. We have also invited Miss Regina Wang to come and speak to us about cross-cultural missions. I think we live in a society, particularly Toronto, is known for multicultural communities that are living around here. And so it's our Christian responsibility to reach out. So, you know, mark your calendars, be part of the ministries of the church, particularly asking God where God wants us to be involved in the ministry at the same time. Now, personal walk also, where God wants us to be doing. Let's pray and spend some time looking at God's word. Father, we thank you for your word that is given to us. We thank you, Lord, that you came to show your love to us. And today, God, we are gathered here because we are a saved community, a community that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray as we give ourselves to the reading of the scripture, God, as we meditate in your word, help us, Lord, to allow your spirit to invade into our lives, Father. We want to be disturbed. We want to be rekindled again. We want to be challenged again, O God. We want to be equipped. And we pray, God, that we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. We thank and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe many of us have read about the life of the missionary, great missionary, David Livingstone. I was reading about him too. And he was a missionary, you know, a pioneer missionary to Africa, a well-known man who gave his entire life to God. There was a time in his life that he was busy, involved in ministry, and he wanted people to be, you know, coming to that part of the world to work with the people in Africa. Tough ground, rough ground. And so he received a letter. And the letter goes like this. It says, "Have you found a good road to where you are?" They wrote it to David Livingstone. Right? "If you found a road, a good road to where you are, if so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." Interesting letter. You see, there's a lot of excitement in that particular part of the world. They wanted to send other people. But David Livingstone, you know, wrote back in a very profound way. He said, "If you have men who will only come if there is a good road, I do not want them. I want those who will come if there is no road at all." Yes, he said, "I do not want anyone to come if there are good road. I want those who will come if there is no road at all." You know, when I look at this particular statement, it's a very powerful and a profound statement. And the passage or chapter that we are about to dive in, it's a very interesting passage. It's a must-read passage for those who are in leadership, those who are involved in search committees, and I know some of you are involved in such committees, those who are contemplating, you know, shall I step into ministry Or those who are even in ministry, you know, sometimes you feel lukewarm in your life and ministry. Is this the call that God has given to us? So I would always challenge people who are thinking of ministry or involved in ministry, church leadership, mission committees, any, you know, departments or body that sends out missionaries or even people who are involved in vocational ministry. So it's a wonderful passage. It's a beautiful chapter. It's a must-read chapter where you'll see, you know, the importance of the church leadership, the importance of the church congregation, the importance of the call, the importance of the Spirit of God leading us in this ministry. Just to give you a background of the city, you know, the more I look at the city of Antioch, you know, I'm really fascinated because it's almost similar to the society that we live in. Do you know something that in Toronto alone, I was doing a study and I realized, you know how many nationalities are in this city alone, in GTA? It's 230 different nationalities. 230 different nationalities. Everywhere you turn, right? I think it is very evident by the restaurants that you see. Every kind of restaurant is there, different kinds of flavors. So Antioch was something similar in those days. It was a massive city. It was having almost a million people. So in those days, if it was a million, half a million people, it was considered a huge or a massive city. So Antioch was a massive city. Mixed cultures and ethnicities were there. You know, when Luke was writing this particular passage, or in other words, this Acts of the Apostles, it is said that there were 18 different nationalities or ethnic groups living in that city boundaries alone. Very interestingly, I like this church in Antioch because they were the first who were called Christians, if you realize. And why was this church called Christians, or the believers were called Christian? You know, like today, if you realize, many a times you do not know your neighbors well. Maybe some of you know your neighbors, but generally, people keep to themselves, right? We are a very closed community. We keep to ourselves. We go to home. We shut our doors. Sometimes we do not know whether people are there, but people are there. It was something of that. Antioch was a very close city. Even though it was a busy city, people were keeping to themselves. They had their own boundaries. They drew their line within their families. But the Christians were different. They were always, you know, going out, reaching out. They did not draw a line within themselves. They want to be seen in the community. That's why, that was one of the reasons they were called Christians, because they were engaging. They did not see themselves as a close-knit community alone, but they want to be involved in the life and ministry of the neighborhood, their neighbors, of the communities they were living in. And so this interesting passage is a passage that talks to us, you know, how God leads His people into ministry. As I said, you know, those who are in leadership, those who are serving in mission departments, or even the elders of the church, right? It's not only to us, to every church. I think it's an important passage. And those who are thinking of going into vocational ministry or full-time Christian ministry, this is a must-read passage, a passage that I will always encourage you before you step into ministry. Firstly, when I look at the passage, you know, I see it's an interesting church because it was a Spirit-led church. Look at the passage very carefully. You know, there were different names that are mentioned in this particular text. So when I look at the in verse 1 alone, there are two things that actually comes out. Firstly, you know, there was godly leadership and there was godly submission by the congregants, right? Firstly, we look at the passage. It says, in verse 1, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. You know, maybe when you look at the first look at these particular names, you might think, you know, it's almost the same guys and all that. But there were, you know, different kinds of people in the leadership. In other words, there were plurality in terms of leadership, my friend. Different city, And they were different people. You know, when I look at these names, I want you to, if you have time, go and study. You know, this man who is in Manain was a rich man. Not only that, he knew Herod. In other words, he knew people who were ruling in those days. Can you imagine? Probably a politician was also part of the leadership committee, was involved in the life and ministry of the church. And you look at their backgrounds, they were not all Jews alone, but they were also Greeks and Hellenistic Jews. So can you imagine a leadership, a church leadership, Antioch leadership was different. And there were different nationalities. It is said that Lucius is a person who looks like me, a black guy, an African guy, right? Different nationalities. There were Syrians, there were Cyprus, there were Palestinians, my friend. So when I look at it, I was telling myself, come on, right? Today we struggle, but in those days, because they saw that they were part of the body of Christ. You know, that is how God created the entire world. There's always beauty, you know, when God brings people from different ethnicity. You know, I must tell you, whenever I go for some conferences, when they know that I serve at NCAC, some of them, they stare at me, not in a negative sense, but they were a bit surprised. Right? A guy has a different tone, in other words, color tone, serving in a Chinese church. You know, that's one powerful thing about our church, right? I would safely say, in many of our Chinese churches, that I think that one or two have mixed group worshiping together. And our church is a unique church. And we thank God for that. The Antioch church at different nationalities were in the leadership. There was shared leadership. Some of you might say, if it's shared leadership, is it the plus point? Not only that. Look at the passage very carefully. It was not just shared leadership. The first thing that I said was they were godly people, because it said in verse 2, they were worshiping the Lord. In some version, it reads as they were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting and the Holy Spirit spoke to them. In other words, they were not just ordinary leaders. They were not just taking care of the administrative affairs of the church. They were worshiping the Lord. In other words, they were busy involved in the ministry of the church. They were working hard, teaching the people, equipping the people. I think that's the responsibility of many leaders, my friend. We are here to equip, to guide, to teach, to shepherd the flock that is given to us. And that was what they were doing. If you look at the Acts of the Apostle or even the early church, they were involved in teaching the word and prayer. At the same time, having ears, listening to where the Spirit of God was leading them to, or what the Spirit of God was wanting them to. And that is godly leadership, my friend. They were involved in the things that were given to them, at the same time listening to the Word of God. Look at the congregation. As I said, secondly, you know, there was godly submission. I'm not saying that you shouldn't question the leaders, right? I'm not saying that. But what was happening, you know, when they felt that these two men, Saul and Barnabas, were actually called by the Spirit of God to be involved in some kind of ministry, they brought it before the church. If you look at the text very carefully, it says, so they fasted and prayed and they placed their hands on them and sent them off. You know, verse 3, it's a verse that speaks about the church has actually prayed about them. They laid their hands. And in those days, placing their hands means is asking God's grace to be upon that particular person. At the same time, it also says, we are part of your ministry. In other words, we are sending you as an extension of the ministry. In other words, as an entire church, we can't go to these parts of the world. But you are our extension. And we want to be involved in the life of ministry of other nations. And so we have appointed you. And that is the meaning of laying of hands, my friend. So the church was always, if you look at the church very carefully, you know, the Acts of the Apostles, there was always a relationship between the church and the missionaries who were sent. There's always a relationship. Nowhere in Acts of the Apostles or the early church, you don't see that. There's always a relationship, my friend. The church is always seen coming together, praying, laying hands upon them and saying, no, we are sending you. You're part of our church ministry. We are responsible. We are accountable. Similarly, you too are accountable to the church. And what was happening? Even the church gave its blessing. And it's important for us as a church too, as we have sent people out, right? We pray for them. When we receive newsletters, right? Do we think of them? Or do we just think of them when Mission Emphasis Month comes? At the same time, I think those who are involved in ministry who have been sent by the church, do you think of our church too? Right? Have you prayed for our church? And that was the relationship that they had in the early church, my friend. So it was a spirit-led leadership that was happening. Not only a spirit-led leadership, secondly, let's look at the call. As I said, it's important for us to look at the call of these people, right? The call to Christian ministry. If you are thinking of entering into ministry, if you feel the Spirit of God has been prompting you, right? If you're in ministry like me, you know, it's good to review the call that God has given to us. What was happening here? While they were worshiping the Lord, who? Saul was also worshiping the Lord. Barnabas also was worshiping the Lord. In other words, they were also ministering to the Lord. They were also fasting. The first thing that I see, they were ministering to the Lord. Look at the Greek text very carefully. They were actively involved in the life and ministry of the church. Nowhere in the New Testament you will see that God sent someone who was not involved in the life and ministry of the church, my friend. It is not filling in of the gap. They were involved. Paul, if you realize, Paul was called much more earlier. God told Ananias and said, you know, go and pray for this man. Because he is my chosen vessel. But what is happening here? Paul knew that he was called, but then at this particular juncture, the church recognizes the Spirit of God intervenes and then sends them out, or sends Saul out, my friend. And so if you look at Scripture very carefully, they were involved in the life and ministry of the church. They were part of the church leadership. It's not only leadership. They were actively involved in the ministry of the church, my friend. It doesn't mean that if God is not calling you on a vocational ministry, you shouldn't be involved. We should be involved. But as we are involved, not only the church recognizes us, but God is actually preparing us to go into ministry. I remember myself, my wife, when we were in the U.S., I had a couple of friends, you know, very good ones, you know, good friends. But it was, I always spent some time talking to my friends, mostly with Caucasian people. And it was sad, you know, some of them came to ministry because, one person told me, I came to ministry because, you know, this scholarship body said they will only give scholarship if I go to a theological school. So I opted for that. For a moment, I know, I was asking myself, Lord, what's happening here? There's only one option to get that scholarship, only if you go to theological school, so I opted. You know, my friends, in hearing the person's testimony, the person was not really involved in the life and ministry of the church. I'm not saying, you know, God might not be doing, but when I look at the model, the pattern that is listed here, they were actively involved in the life and ministry of the church. Secondly, what was happening here? Look at the second word, right? They were fasting. You know, sometimes it's a lost spiritual discipline in the church today. We read about fasting. We know about fasting. But if you realize, it's a lost spiritual discipline in the church today. The leaders were fasting. Those who involved were fasting. Even though, you know, fasting is not commanded in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the Lord wanted the people, the Lord commanded them on the Day of Atonement, once a year they have to fast. It's a spiritual discipline. God wanted them. Even though it was an option, what was happening? Jesus also emphasized on fasting, right? I think all of us are aware. He fasted for 40 days before stepping into ministry, my friend. Even Paul, when you read Paul, what was happening, Paul in Acts chapter 14, 21 to 23, before they appointed elders, they prayed, they fasted. It was a spiritual discipline because they realized that it's important that we need to ask God. You know, I think we need to get back the lost discipline of fasting. Sometimes it's sad, right? When our doctor says, you need to fast the whole day, we're willing to do that because the doctor wants us to fast. But as a Christian, it's a challenge on our own to fast and to pray. The early church was always seen fasting because they saw the benefits of this. So, you know, if you are thinking of getting into ministry, if you're contemplating, you know, let me tell you, God wants to see how much you love the church today, how much you love His ministry, how much you're willing to give yourself and say, Lord, I'm willing to forgo food, oh God, because I want to discern where you're leading me, where you're guiding me. I'm willing to deny myself and to hear your voice. You know, Saul and Barnabas, because they were actively involved, not because Paul was a scholar, but because he was involved in the life and ministry of the church. He knew there was a call much more earlier. Thirdly, now let me finish with this. It's not only just a call to ministry, but I think it's a Spirit-led ministry. Verse 4, it says, the two of them were sent on their way by who? By Holy Spirit. In other words, the church sent them off. The church knew, endorsed their calling. Because the leaders of the church, they had the spirit of discernment, my friend. They were able to discern because they were listening to the voice of God. They knew it was God who called them. But who led them? It was the Spirit of God leading them. Look at the text very clearly, right? Carefully. It was the Spirit of God just leading them into where they should be going. The Spirit of God led them in verse 4 when you read and gave them a specific ministry, my friend. Yes, when God calls you into ministry, you must be ready, right? But it doesn't mean it's just a pastoral call. It can be a call to be a missionary. It can be a call to any other ministry, my friend. Paul and Barnabas were just, imagine, they were excellent leaders of the church. Can you imagine sending your leaders out? You need them. They were important in the life and ministry of this particular church. Paul was a great teacher. How can we lose a great teacher? We might say, you know, maybe the Lord does not speak to you. They knew because they had the spirit of discernment, the leaders. And the Spirit of God was leading them. If you look at the life and ministry of these early disciples, they knew their call. And they were just listening to where the Spirit of God was leading them. And they just went. And they just went. Like what I just said when I started my sermon, it's not whether there are good roads, but wherever the Lord leads. Secondly, when you look at this, what was happening in their ministry, right? They were proclaiming the word of God, my friend. A Spirit-led ministry always leads in the advancement of the gospel. That is ministry, my friend. If a ministry does not advance the gospel, if the ministry does not advance the kingdom of God, then we need to ask ourselves, everywhere in the New Testament, you see, when God called, it is to advance His kingdom. It is to extend His kingdom, my friend. It is to spread the good news of the gospel. And that was the call that God gave. And they were proclaiming wherever they went. They were proclaiming the word of God. It was a Spirit-led ministry. The Spirit led them. In closing, you know, I see, every time we look at the church, the early church, we speak about Jerusalem church. I got nothing against Jerusalem church. That's the early church. But if you ask me, I would favor the Antioch church. You know why? Today, I think we need to ask ourselves whether we want to be an Antioch church or we want to be the church, the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church, though it was the early, it was the first church, right? It was born on the day on Pentecost. But you know what was the problem with the church? They kept their doors were closed. In other words, they always reached out to the Jewish community. That's all, period. They have difficulties to reach to other ethnicity, my friend. They were even reluctant to allow the gospel to go to the Gentiles. That was the Jerusalem church. Today, you and I can worship God. You know why? It's because of the Antioch church. The Antioch church had the spirit of Matthew chapter 28, my friend. They want to make disciples of all nations. They were sending out people across different ethnicity. Just imagine if God would have just stopped with the Jerusalem church, probably we might not be having churches here. It was the Antioch church that went to spread the word of God. Today, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, as a church community, do we want to be in Jerusalem church or do we want to be in Antioch church? I think God wants us to be in Antioch church. Let me finish with this. I think many of you would have read about the life of James Calvert. James Calvert, when he was 18 years old, right? Some of you are, maybe a few of you are 18 years old, he became a preacher, and he attended a theological school for 5 years. And he realized, he told himself, yes, I think God has called me to be a pastor of a church. That was his thought. He thought to himself. But then, you know, God had a different plan for this young man's life at this particular age. As a trainee Wesleyan minister, right, he was sent together with his wife to a place called Fiji, together with this great missionary called John Hunt. You must read about him, a very powerful missionary. You know, cannibals were there. And so, when James Calvert, his wife, and a couple of them were in the ship going to the island of Fiji, as they were almost coming to that particular island, the captain of the ship came to this man and said, you know, before I reach the land, I want to ask you something. Why didn't you turn back? Let's go back home. Can you imagine the captain of the ship telling him, because you will lose your life, your wife's life, your family will be gone. Because these people are fierce. They'll kill you. They'll even eat you up. I know. You know what James said? And this was a phrase that he said. And he said, we died before we came here. We died before we came here. We died to ourselves. We said no to ourselves. No to our desires just to fulfill the plan of God. As Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Today, my friend, if we want to be involved in ministry, we need to die before we start. We die to ourselves and say, no, Lord. What a powerful testimony. Thank God, you know, he was not eaten by the people there. Right? His ministry flourished. You know, he was recognized. And not only that, he went back to England to print the native Bible for the people. What a powerful testimony. We came before. We died before we came here. And so, my friend, I know some of us are in leadership role. And maybe some of us would be leaders in the future too. I think God expects godly leadership, a spirit-led leadership. Always listening to the prompting of the Spirit. If you're thinking of ministry, contemplating, you know, it's important for us to be involved in the life and ministry of the church because God sees that. And also to have spiritual disciplines, my friend, because it's an important call that God gives. And when God leads, He leads where He wants. He leads only to advance the gospel. Let's pray. In this Mission Emphasis Month, we will have a lot of speakers to come to speak to us. Just challenging us about missions, helping us to see there is a need out there wanting our support, wanting our involvement. But God wants us also to look at the basics, my friend. Each and every one of us will have an important role when we sent out a missionary. As leaders, not only we equip our people, give ourselves to the reading of the word or prayer, but just discerning where the Spirit of God is saying. If you're thinking of ministry, let me invite you, start your ministry in the church. Because God sees that. Paul knew that he was called, but he was involved in the life and ministry of the church before the Spirit of God specifically called him out. Be willing to say, Lord, lead me wherever you want me. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that you have enabled us not only to pray, to support, but also to send. We thank you, Lord, for the great ministry that has been given to our church. We want to be an Antioch church, O God. We want to hear and respond to the voice of the needy. Help us, Lord, at all times to listen to your prompting. Lord, because it's your church. And so, Lord, we pray that you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's time for us to take communion, and I thought I'll just read another beautiful passage. It's always wonderful to have communion with God. We are undeserving people. We don't deserve to come into the gracious presence of God, but God calls us because of His love. And likewise, I think God is also calling us to have His love in our lives, my friend. That many more will hear the good news. Let's continue to pray for our missionaries. Let's be mindful of the things that's happening in their lives. Let's pray that God will give us the spirit of discernment and to show us that we will be to whom we should send and help. Let's allow the Spirit of God to lead us in every ministry that we do, my friend. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes to this church and he emphasizes the importance of coming together because this church had a problem. breaking bread together. And so Paul exhorts them and says, in verse 21, he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So let me invite you, right, to take some time before you come and we break bread together, to examine ourselves. Ask God to speak to us. Let me read. Paul says, for I receive from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so, my friend, let me invite you to come to the table, and later we will break bread together. Please come.